Hebrews chapter 11, all of faith. You might have yesterday watched the NFL Hall of Fame inductions, but if there's a place that you want to be inducted, it's into the Hall of Faith. You know, because that's God's looking for those that trust Him, that He says without faith, He can't please Him, you know. So we look forward to seeing Him someday, very soon, of course. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, where would we be without Your Word, Father? We would be where much of the world is, and much of the church, actually, Lord, is today, it seems, on the sidelines and not doing Your will, Lord, or not, you know, following Your Word, Lord. We pray, Father, that You would continue to help us to do so, Lord. We could very well sway, Lord, and very well get distracted and turn aside and not follow, Lord, but we do want to be faithful. We want to continue to be faithful, Lord, in what You've called us to, Lord, and help us, Lord, to do that, Lord. It's only through Your strength, through Your Holy Spirit, Father, filling us daily, Lord, that we are able to withstand some of the ploys of the enemy, Lord, and the distractions and just the, you know, chaos of this world, Lord. So we just give this time to You, Lord. We pray, Father, that You would somehow penetrate our hardness, Lord, and get through to us today, Lord. And may You delight in us today, Lord. And we thank You and praise You and give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to read through the few verses that we're going to look at today. You know, we're going to look at Abraham like Adam had suggested and or had said, and yes, we are going to look at Abraham a little bit, and then in a week or so we're going to look at Abraham again in a different situation. But here in verse 8, we got to remember too, the book of Hebrews was written to the Christian believers, the Jewish Christian believers. They were in a sense struggling. You know, sometimes don't you struggle with your faith? Sure we do. You know, there's times when we do. We say, well, God, where are You? You know, and is this really worth it? And we might even declare that sometimes, and then we come back to reality and we say, it is worth it. It is worth it, right, to be walking with the Lord. And so the writer of Hebrews here is really, he's putting it out there to the Christians there, the Jewish believers, to stick with it, right? It's a hard journey, but stick with it. And this chapter he puts in here, particularly, I think, because our walk is based upon faith. It is not based upon what we do to please God. It's not on that, oh, that you go to that church, or you know, you belong to a Calvary Chapel. That's not it either. It's, hey, we walk by faith. And if we look at so many of the patriarchs, right, of our faith, that they walked by faith, and sometimes they were difficult, and sometimes it wasn't a perfect faith. And I think when we look at Abraham this morning, we get a look at that. We get a look at a faith that maybe wasn't perfect. But you know whose faith is perfect? God's faith. God's faith is perfect. He's faithful in all things. Right? He promises us, and He makes covenant with his people, and He actually keeps them. You know, we can't say that for ourselves. I'm sure we've all broken the promises to one another, but God doesn't do that. He is faithful through and through. You know, our ambition here is to be faithful to God and to do the things that He's asked us to do and trust in Him. Trust that what He says is golden, and that we, you know, that He knows best for us, right? So let's just read through this passage here. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so, you know, when we think about faith, of course, we have to go back to that definition there in verse 1 of this chapter. And it says, now faith is the substance, or really the foundation, really, the understanding, what's underneath, right, that holds them up, of things hoped for. Hope for. What did Abraham hope for? Well, it says there in verse 10, he was waiting for the city which has foundations, and them foundations in which God had laid. So, you know, that's what he was hoping for. And it's the evidence of things not seen, you know, and it does say there that he went out not knowing where he was going. Have you ever been there? Where God's called you someplace and you're like, boy, Lord, I don't know it. I don't know about this. You know, I remember back in 2011 when the Lord called Karen and I and our family down here, and you know, we took a survey, and our survey was no. We don't want to go there. You know, that was our first impression, because we rode through the city and we thought, wow, you know, in our flesh we thought, this can't be, Lord, you know. And but as we prayed, the Lord opened up and we found some things. You know, Karen's been going through some sorting lately. She's not pregnant, don't worry about that. She's not nesting or anything like that. But she's just cleaning house, and she found some things about just God's calling, and some of the cries that were on our hearts, and how some of the prayer journals and stuff that we actually were crying out to the Lord. Lord, we'd like some answers, you know. We'd like some understanding, you know. And it's not easy, you know. And sometimes when we look at Abraham, sometimes we get this really holy, holier than thou, I guess, holy, holy, as holy as you can get kind of thing. We take this chapter and we say, oh, well, Noah, he was holy. Well, yeah, he was a drunkard as he came off the boat, right? And I remember that. Remember some of his faults, you know. Abraham, you know, we can go through some of those things. But look at, it says there, Abraham obeyed. And, you know, when you look at that, you might think, well, gee, you know, I don't always obey the Lord. Have you ever been there where you know you're supposed to go someplace and you say, Lord, no? No, I don't really want to go there, Lord. You know, and he changes his mind, and it's a journey, isn't it, for us? It's not, you know, it's easy to print on the page that Abraham obeyed, but what was really behind all that? His obedience. And we'll get to that for sure. But recently we looked at Abel, and his worship toward God was by faith. You know, and we looked at Enoch, and of course he walked by faith, and he was taken by the Lord because he pleased, it says that he pleased God. And we know that without faith, nothing can please God. We have to trust Him. We have to develop that relationship. There's something about trusting that means that we develop the relationship with that individual. You know, as when with God, it's developing a relationship with Him. It's, you know, it's in His Word. It's knowing His heart, right? His Word is His heart, you know, and that's the best thing we can do, is to get in God's Word. If we want to know something from God, we want to know direction from God, we want to know Him better, you know, we can read a lot of books written by a lot of great guys, but the one thing that we can do to enhance our relationship with God is to know His Word, right? And to get into His Word and spend time in it. It's not just a one time on Sunday. You know, it's an everyday occurrence. It's something that is habit forming. It was a tennis player yesterday talking about somebody's development of skill level, right? And how they were developing, and they said, you know, it takes 66 days to develop a skill where you don't think about it anymore. You know? And so the thing there is, okay, well, if that's true, if we put that in our spiritual walk, I was thinking about this, of, gee, Lord, if I put this in my spiritual walk, maybe I'll pray more. Maybe I'll read more. Maybe I'll study more. You know, we make it in such a... I hope that you're to a spot in your walk with the Lord, and if you're not, I encourage you to proceed, right? To take heart and just proceed to draw closer to the Lord through His Word and prayer and so forth. But if you're not there, you can get there. It's open, right? Today we have the Word available to us. Tomorrow we might not. So we have to plant, we have to take God's Word and get to know Him now. Now is the time. It's not when all hell breaks loose, right? It's when now is the time, before all that, right? In our relationship with Him. And then we look at Noah. You know, Noah served by faith. Yeah, 120 years, man, building an ark that nobody believed in, except him. And I think his family probably went along with Pops, you know, but there was probably some resistance even there. You know, we're not privy to that. Just knowing human nature, you know, knowing even my family, you know. Oh, Dad's at it again. Oh, no. You know, Dad's going to do this. But today we need to live by faith. And I think Abraham here is a wonderful encouragement to us. It says there that Abraham obeyed. And so, how did disobedience look? Well, I'll tell you right now, it was ragged. It was kind of not, you know, to us, we might look at his obedience as perfection, but it wasn't perfect obedience. It might have been partial obedience. We might have termed it even incomplete obedience. But eventually, you know what? Abraham got there. Because you know why? We've got this last part of this section of scripture here. It says, for he was waiting for a city which has foundations, whose maker, builder and maker is God. Right? Let's go to Genesis, actually. Genesis chapter 11. Now, you can put your finger there. You can put your bookmark there. We're going to flip back and forth here a little bit. I try not to make you too dizzy, but I think it's a good section here. I just want to read verses 31 through the very first part of verse 1, and then we'll get to the rest of what we're going to go through verse 5 here eventually, or verse 4 eventually, but I want to take us through this a little bit because I think it tells us something about Abraham and his calling. It says, Terah took his son Abram, that's Abraham, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the son Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And then it says in verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abraham. And I think that word had is important because it tells us it's past tense. That there was, God spoke to Abraham's heart before they proceeded out of Ur of the Chaldeans. And if you go to chapter 7 of Acts, I think it's chapter 7 of Acts there. Verse chapter 7 of Acts gives us, it's Stephen's response to the high priest. You know, the high priest in verse 1 of chapter 7 asks, are these things so? Are they true? And what he was talking about was that there had been some accusations against Stephen. And we know Stephen. Stephen was the one that got stoned. We have a very good thought that Paul was probably in the midst there, you know, of that execution. But there were some things that were told to the high priest about Stephen. It says Stephen was full of faith. It says that in verse 8 of chapter 6. And that he was, because he stood before man and poured out what God had shown him. And that takes a lot of faith, right? To be the only one in the crowd. Stand up for the Lord. And sometimes I think God wants us there. God wants us to be the one in the crowd. You know, the one in our workplace. Sometimes we get stuck in these situations. We think, well, why, Lord? Why did you place me here? The Lord says, because I needed one. I needed one faithful, right? And anyways, so there are some accusations brought against him. It says that they secretly induce men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. That was a big deal. That was a big deal. Verse 13, it says, they also set up false witnesses. You know, how many times does that happen to us where somebody says something that's really not true about you? It says, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. And so, this is what was happening, right? And so, Stephen was asked by the high priest, are these things true? Are you really speaking these things? And probably anybody in their right mind wouldn't say yes, right? Yeah, they're all blasphemous things against, that would be execution. But what he did was he gave them some gospel here, and he says, and he said, brethren and fathers, listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives, and to come to a land which I will show you. So I read that because Stephen, a man full of faith, shows us a little bit of how that played out. Is that what we read there in chapter 12, I believe that he had heard those words prior to the leaving of Ur of the Chaldeans. And so there was this time that transpired. They got to Haran and they dwelt there. They dwelt there for a season, though God had told them the remainder there of through verse 3 to Abraham, spoke that to Abraham, that he should leave his country and proceed onward. But there was a stop, or this pause maybe even, in that following through, or that obedience of Abram or Abraham. And sometimes we do have those times when God sets us on a path and we obey for a season, and then we run into something. Now, we might not be able to overcome it at the time. You know, there might be a stoppage even of the Lord, right? I think of your ankle, you know. It might be that the Lord is holding us back before he allows us to proceed on, right? And so there is this pause in completion. I remember when we first came down here, matter of fact, you know, mine was the lack of faith. You know, the Lord had showed me, I'd worked for Xerox up on the lake there for 22 years and a half. And, I was commuting down here for 6 months for all the studies and so forth. And I remember the Lord saying, go into your boss. And my boss's name was Tim White. No relation. And certainly didn't have the compassion that I had wished that he had had. You know, I was hoping at that time he would let me work remotely. Today he would have said, sure, you know. But I went into his office and I said, hey, Tim, I want to resign and I want to turn in my resignation and so forth. And he said, okay, I kind of knew that was coming at some point. And he said, when's your last day? And I thought about it and I go, okay, the Lord told me March 15th. And how about March 30th? You know, I was like trying to work out things. Am I going to really trust him? And then we were down here and we were moving from the, and I told my wife, I said, we better buy a house before the bank doesn't loan us any money because I'm unemployed. So we started looking for a house. We found a house out in West Elmira and we bought it, and we were actually moving from the Johnson Street side and over by Davis. And we were moving over there that day. My phone rang and it was a headhunter. And he said, hey, I want to talk to you about a job. And I said, well, I'm moving today. Can you call me on Monday? He said, sure enough. So he calls me on Monday. He says, hey, I can get you in for an interview. How about Friday? I go, Friday? Holy smokes. So the Friday came and it went. And I got halfway home from the interview and I got this call. And they said, oh, they want to make you an offer. I spent probably about 6 to 8 hours with the people, you know, talking about the job and so forth. They want to make you an offer. I said, oh, okay. So that next week, you know, sometimes God proves himself through some of that stuff and you recollect and you go, uh-huh. So God wants us to move. Okay. So I remember that the following Monday going into my boss and, hey, Tim, I got something to share with you. I said, what's that? He goes, remember I told you March 30th? I said, yeah. I said, it's March 15th. You know, but God will do that for us sometimes. He'll prove himself in the situation. He'll prove how faithful he is so that we turn around and be faithful. And so it's just an interesting thing there. But where do we sometimes get off track? You know, how do we get off track? You know, sometimes I think God's word is so clear, yet we have a tendency of not following it or not trusting in his word, you know. And so when we look at this chapter 12 of Genesis here, and it said the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Well, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means get out of your country, right? Right? Get out of there. Sometimes our country can be very comforting. We can feel like, hey, you know, we feel pretty comfortable. I had a guy tell me the other day, Fred, I'm not looking to get rich. I just want to be comfortable. And I thought to myself, well, there's the first problem, right? Because our comfort and our peace comes with our relationship with Jesus. So if we're not comfortable, we might want to start thinking about, well, why isn't that? Why isn't that? Is it our relationship with Christ? Or, you know, because Christ convinced us to move in a certain way, right? And that causes us comfort and peace, right? And so, you know, and to move, when God says move, sometimes we think, well, I'm not, this is new to us. Some of us don't like changes. I'm going to move, right? But in the bottom line, why did he want, I think anyways, to get him out of that country was that there was many distractions there in Ur. The Chaldeans were a very much a worship people, but they worshiped false gods. You know, and Terah, as we know in Joshua 24, it tells us that he worshiped other gods. So he was not a worshiper of Jehovah. He was a follower after other gods. Sometimes God takes us out of that mix. And he says, I want you to get out of that country that you're in. You know, I've seen some conversions over the years, and one of the things that guys and people struggle with the most is when they come to Jesus, they have a hard time leaving the country. They go, well, these are my buddies. And you go, yeah, they're the ones that convinced you that marijuana was a great thing to do, or that heroin was the next step. you know, and so forth, right? These are your country. And God says, get out of there. Why? Because He cares for us too much. He wants the very best for us. Is it difficult? Certainly it's difficult. But where we are at is opposed to God. And if we want to be faithful followers of God, sometimes we have to disconnect from certain people. And I don't mean be mean and you know, nasty to them. I just mean that sometimes we don't have the fellowship with them as we do with believers, right? I mean, the fellowship that we have with believers is a gift from God, right? The world cannot experience that until they come into relationship with Christ, that true fellowship. So to get out, right? So sometimes God tells us to get out, yet sometimes we stay. And we wonder why our life's so burdened, right? Sometimes it's the hard move, man. Lock the door, swallow the key kind of thing, right? I'm not going back in there, and they're not coming in here, right? And so, and then it says there, from your family and from your father's house. Family is probably the toughest thing, right? Sometimes family is not necessarily the best influence for us. We love them to death, right? We love them. We die for them. But in the same token, they don't love the Lord, right? And so the Lord tells us, well, let's not hang out with them. Let's not fellowship with them. You know, but we have this sense that we do. And it says there in verse 27, the genealogy there of Terah was Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot, right? And we know the story of Lot. Lot's a great story, right? But Abraham probably should have never took him along. It was one of those things that you look past, and you look past into chapter 13 of Genesis, and we see that Lot was just a distraction, right? But I love the Lord, because you know why? The Lord makes a way. Sometimes we don't necessarily take the Lord tells us something, and we don't do it, but we're His kids. And often God steps in and he goes, well, I'm going to make this thing happen. And it says there in chapter 13 that the reason why they split was the land wasn't big enough, right? They both had herds and all this stuff. It just wasn't big enough. So I think God put them in a place where they couldn't survive together, though God didn't really want them together. And of course, we know that He looked upon Sodom and Gomorrah there in the valley, and He said, wow, I want that. It looks so nice. There's different mindsets between Lot and Abram. You know, and God separated him for that purpose. And I think, too, when we look at the stanza of verses and we see there, it says, from your father's house to a land that I will show you, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Something about the I will there that we've got to get imprinted upon our minds is that in our hearts is that God will do it. We don't have to do it for Him. And I think when we look at Abraham, we see him meddle with things here and again, right? With his wife Sarah that was beyond childbirth age, and she would offer and he would accept the offer of Hagar, but it turns out that wasn't a good decision, right? For both sakes. But he, you know, sometimes we make a mistake in stepping in to those situations, and we forget God will do it. You know, we don't need to come up with some clever scheme. You know, I think about the building. You know, I think about, you know, we had actually looked at a building. We actually put in an offer this week. We thought that maybe we'd get it, but we didn't. And that's okay. We're not going to do it. The Lord showed us a certain way to give the offer, and we're not going to go back and say, well, no, we'll give you more to get it, right? We're going to let God open the doors. And maybe He'll open the doors to that same place, but we don't know that. But we're just going to trust Him, right? We're not going to come up with some clever scheme, because we don't want to do His part. Right? We're just going to be faithful to what He shows us to do. I will bless you and make you a great nation. And we see in chapter 22, after Abraham's faithfulness to confirm his willingness to give Isaac, right? It says there in verse 17 of that chapter, blessing, I will bless you and multiply you. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. And then, if you remember in chapter 24, Abram's servant was going to pursue a wife for Isaac, and he mentions, he says, the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and has given him flocks and herds and silver and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. So when the servant was explaining, hey, everything Abraham has is because God was faithful to him. You know, did Abraham have some issues in faith? Of course he did. He is human. He is as flesh as we are. You know, he probably said no a couple times that aren't even mentioned in Scripture. But but you know, Abraham continued to walk. The key here, you know, when we look at these great men, the key here is that they continue to walk. Right? David, did he mess up with Bathsheba? Sure he did. Did he not trust the Lord? Sure he did. Right? But in the end, he continued to run after the Lord. He continued to repent when the time came that he needed to repent. He repented, and he continued to walk with the Lord. Perfectly? No, not perfectly, but God understands us, right? Sometimes you go, can't I just be faithful? Can't I just be faithful, Lord? But He knows us. And Abraham continued to progress in his faith there. Continued to progress in his faith. And he says there that he went out not knowing where he was going in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, and this in itself gives us an understanding that even though Abraham's actions weren't always what they should have been, it conveys to us the dependence on the Lord that he had, because he didn't know what was ahead of him. We don't know what's ahead of us, right? We don't know what kind of walls are going to be put up. We don't know this outreach needs to be bathed in prayer, because we don't know what the enemy will be stirring up that night. You know? And it says there, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. That word dwelt is paracleo. It means dwell aside. Para means aside. So it dwell aside. Or the King James says that he was a sojourner. You know, it implies there that he was a stranger in this this land, even the land that the Lord would give. You know, the people, when they went into the land, this is our land, right? They were kind of stronghold on that land. Abraham wasn't the same way. He didn't have the same mentality. His dwelling was with God, ultimately. And this place was just a place God had promised, for sure. And I'm sure he appreciated it. But there was so much more to it. He looked at it as, I'm just a sojourner. I'm just wandering through. I'm just a stranger in this land. It says they're dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. What do you think about when you think of tents? You know, I think the King James might say dwelling in tabernacles. Right? But what do you think about the tabernacle? The tabernacle is something that they moved through the wilderness with. They picked up when God showed them to move. Guess what? They picked up the tabernacle. They moved. Our citizenship isn't here. It's not in the United States. It's not in the United Kingdom. It's not in Europe. It's not in Africa. It's not in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven if we know Him. Right? So, this is just, we're just sojourners. We're just faithful sojourners. God, what do you want us to do? You want us to step out in that? I don't know where to go. Good place to be. Abraham didn't either. And he was a father of faith, right? It says there, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. You know, I heard a doctor, I went to get my yearly physical. I just started doing that this year. My annual physical. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I try to do it every year, but I think I've got one in a row so far. But I went to see my doctor, and you know, he checked me out. He said, hey, you know, you can continue living how you're living. And I go, great. Soda and chips. What a diet. And no, you know, and we were talking, and I don't know, something was mentioned about being over 50, and I said, yeah, I'm glad I'm not over 50. He goes, yeah, me either. And he chuckled, you know, and he goes, yeah, I probably got another 5 years and I'm going to retire. And I go, oh yeah, you know, what are you going to do? He goes, well, I'm going to move back home. He's Middle Eastern descent. You know, and I said, why is that? And he said, well, that's because nobody knows me back there as far as like my title of doctor. He said, so then I can do what I want to do. He said, here I get involved with too many things, you know. And when you know, the next day we walk into Sam's and he's into Sam's doing the prescriptions and everything for the eyes. He's an eye specialist as well. So he's doing like juggling all these things. And I was thinking, that's how we want to be. We want to be strangers here. Okay, you know, we're just strangers here. We're just giving out the truth. And then someday we're gone. And we're in glory, you know. Or better yet, God comes and gets us. Right? Jesus comes. So, I think the reality here is that these dwelling in tents gives us a picture of somebody that is easily moved when God calls. See, today, not many people are easily moved. Not moved, those that are in the church, not easily moved. Why? Well, we got too many strongholds on us. We got too many attachments to this world. Right? Well, gee, if we don't go, you know, what's the first thing that happens when God calls you to something? I'll tell you, because I've been there. The first thing that happens to you, you go, how am I going to feed my family? Does He promise that He'll take care of us? I think He does, right? Does He tell us that He'll clothe us? Is there much more that we need, really? Well, yeah, but how about cable, Lord? Am I going to be able to watch all the football games? How about that? Right? But sometimes God calls us out of those places of comfort so that we can be used, right? I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that said they had had cancer. And when you talk to them, they said, would you trade it for anything? They said, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. You know, the lives they touched, the things that they had to go through, the suffering that they did, and how it inspired people to live for the Lord. Yeah, I got a good friend, Mark, there up in Geneva. He said, my preaching was different after I got the cancer. Mm-hmm. Because I could always tell people that what would you do if you were diagnosed with cancer? What would you do? He said, now I understand what they went through, what they would go through, the struggles that would happen. But God, don't think God ever leaves you during those times. Never leaves us. Right? He continues to prove Himself faithful to us during those situations. Right? But for us Americans, it's hard to move us. Because, you know, the good paying job, I've got to make this. I'll tell you right now, that's baloney. Because when I left Xerox, I was making six figures. And I thought to myself, how can I ever leave and go into the ministry? And right now, I don't make six figures, just so you know. All right? And God has sustained us probably more than we were sustained when I did, right? Just the way it is. Because God can surprise us. We say He's faithful, He proves Himself to be faithful. Right? So we need to dwell in tents. We're going to get a bunch of tents. We're just going to dwell in tents. But really what I mean is that we just need to have a light grip on this world. That's what we need to be. We need to position ourselves so, hey, you know, we can move at any time. Lord calls us to move, we move. We do it, right? Just a temporary thing here. We need to be mobile for Him. So often our anchor is not in Christ. It's in the things of this world. And sometimes we need to rebalance things. We need to get things right with Him so that we're ready to move when He wants us to move. And He talks about this city. For He waited, it says, for a city that has foundations, whose building and maker is God. And of course, in Revelation, I couldn't help but think of this. And I'm going to read through the whole chapter, actually. I think it's a powerful chapter to put our minds around and to allow us to just see what God has for us outside of this world. We get so consumed with it, right? We get so consumed. Why don't you flip over to chapter 21 there. Chapter 21 of Revelation. I want to read through a portion of this anyways. I just think it's like awesome. It says, now I saw, this is John speaking, right? Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So if you put all your hope and trust in this wonderful economy that we have going on here today, if you think it's wonderful, with the higher wages and the higher food bills and higher gasoline and higher car prices, whatever, higher. If you think that's all great, you put your hope in it, your 401ks, your retirement IRAs, all that, you put your hope in that, guess what? It's all gone. At this stage, when John says this, man, he's like, it's all gone. It's all passed away. It says, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountains of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city were 12 foundation, had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And they who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its walls 140 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, an angel. The construction of its walls was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the walls of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third whatever. We'll find out all these things. A lot of these I can't even pronounce, so I won't go through them, but they're decorative, right? But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb of God, the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor in it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is exactly, I think, what Abraham was waiting for. He waited for this. He waited for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord. And we do thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that we get to study it, Lord, with you, and that you get to prick our hearts in a certain way, Lord, that we just need to be pricked. Lord, may we pay more attention to you. May we be faithful, Lord. May we obey, Lord, by faith. May we trust you, Lord, even though we don't know where to go. And may we look forward to your return, Lord, that you have promised, Lord, and for that city, Lord, that you have built and made, Lord. And so we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.